And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin.
And we've got a great hour for you this week. We're obviously going to be catching up on the news and all the latest data breaches. We're getting back to normal. I know my last couple of shows have been nothing but Ukraine. One was actually a repeat of some of my more interesting interviews, but this one, all new, up to date. We're getting back into the swing of things here after settling into the unfortunate Ukraine situation. But so we're going to catch up on those things. But our deep dive is actually going to be talking about Elon Musk. Now, as you know, he bought Twitter, but the problems with him buying Twitter are not what are being really reported. So we're going to move beyond the politics of left and right and all that kind of stuff and actually get into the nuts and bolts of why Elon Musk buying Twitter has very serious problems, or specifically what he wants to do with Twitter. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with free speech. This is not being reported, but you're going to hear it here. And there you go. So with that, let's get started with the news. And in Facebook news, and I swear every news segment I'm doing this week could be a deep dive in and of itself, but we're going to start with Facebook here real quick, because Facebook doesn't know what it does with your data or where it goes. This is nuts. And here is what's going on. Now, I stole basically that entire title straight from Vice News. And while this is alarming, this is actually not new. It's a confirmation of what we've known for quite some time. And I'll get into that in a second. But here's what's up. Facebook is facing what it describes internally as a quote-unquote tsunami of privacy regulations all over the world, which will force the company to dramatically change how it deals with users' personal data. And the fundamental problem, the company admits, is that Facebook has no idea where all of its user data goes or what it's doing with it, according to a leaked internal document obtained by Vice, motherboard by Vice. Now, this document reads, and this is the internal Facebook document, and I quote, "We've built systems with open borders. The result of these open systems and open culture is well described with an analogy. Imagine you hold a bottle of ink in your hand. This bottle of ink is a mixture of all kinds of data, third-party data, first-party data, sensitive categories data, European data, etc. You pour that ink into a lake of water, our open data systems, our open culture, and it flows everywhere. How do you put that ink back in the bottle? How do you organize it again such that it only flows to the allowed places in the lake?" Now, that document was written last year by Facebook privacy engineers on the ad and business product team, whose mission is, and I quote, "to make meaningful connections between people and businesses, and which sits at the center of our monetization strategy and is the engine that powers Facebook's growth." That quote is from a recent job listing for that specific team. Now, this is also the team that is tasked with building and maintaining Facebook's sprawling ad system, and that is the core of their business. And in this document, the team is both sounding the alarm and making the call to change how Facebook deals with users' data to prevent the company from running into trouble with regulators in Europe, the United States, India, and other countries that are pushing for more stringent privacy constraints on social media companies. And I quote the document yet again, "We do not have an adequate level of control and explainability over how our systems use data, and thus we can't confidently make controlled policy changes or external commitments such as we will not use X data for Y purpose." And yet, this is exactly what regulators expect us to do, increasing our risk of mistakes and misrepresentation. In other words, Facebook's own engineers admit that they are struggling to make sense and keep track of where their user data goes once it's inside Facebook's systems, according to this document. This is a huge problem, And this is also known as data lineage. Now, in the last few years, regulators of all over from all over the world have tried to limit how platforms like Facebook can use their own users' data. Now, the most notable example of this is the one that I absolutely love, which is the GDPR. This is from the EU. It's a general data protection regulation that went into effect May of 2018. And in Article 5, the law mandates that personal data must be, quote, collected for specified, explicit, and legitimate purposes and not further processed in a manner that is incompatible with those purposes. Now, basically what that means is that every piece of data that you give Facebook, such as your location, your religious orientation, or can be collected and used for a specific purpose and not be reused for another purpose. So for example, in the past, Facebook took the phone number that you provided to them to protect your account with two-factor authentication, meaning you logged in, you got a text message, you entered the code. They took your phone number and fed it into their, quote, people you may know feature, as well as giving it to advertisers. They gave it to advertisers as well. Now, Gizmodo, the publication, with help of academic researchers, actually caught Facebook doing this, and eventually they had to stop the practice. But what they're doing is they are essentially going beyond the explicit purpose you gave them that for. According to legal experts interviewed by Vice, GDPR specifically prohibits that kind of repurposing, and the leaked document shows that Facebook may not even have the ability to limit how it handles users' data. The document raises questions of whether Facebook is able to broadly comply with privacy regulations because of the sheer amount of data that it collects and where it flows within the company. Now, a Facebook spokesperson denied that this document showed the company is not complying with regulations, and quite frankly, they are 100% wrong. This is the statement that they said via email from the spokesperson, and I quote, "Considering this document does not describe our extensive processes and controls to comply with privacy regulations, it's simply inaccurate to conclude that it demonstrates non-compliance. New privacy regulations across the globe introduce different requirements, and this document reflects the technical solutions we are building to scale the current measures we have in place to manage data and meet our obligations." And that basically is a lie. And I will explain why, because if you go and you read the actual document, and I will quote that document again, and I quote, "We do not have an adequate level of control and explainability over how our systems use data, and thus we can't confidently make controlled policy changes or external commitments such as we will not use X data for Y purpose." And yet, this is exactly what regulators expect us to do, increasing our risk of mistakes and misrepresentation. That flies directly in the face of their official response to news publications on this leaked document. And here's the thing. We've known about this for years. This actually isn't news. It's simply a confirmation of existing articles and publications that basically have been put out for years on this. Now, check this out from April 3rd of 2019, just over 3 years ago, from Bloomberg. That was just over 3 years ago. And I quote, "Researchers at UpGuard, a cybersecurity firm, found troves of user information hiding in plain sight, inadvertently posted publicly on Amazon's cloud computing servers. The discovery shows that a year after the Cambridge Analytica scandal exposed insecure and widely disseminated Facebook users' information is online, companies that control that information at every step still haven't done enough to seal up private data. In one instance, Mexico City-based company Cultura Colectiva openly stored 540 million records on Facebook users, including identification numbers, comments, reactions, and account names. That database was closed on Wednesday back in April of 2019 after Bloomberg alerted Facebook to the problem and Facebook contacted Amazon. Facebook shares pared their gains after the Bloomberg News report." Oh, and it goes on too, because this is the tip of the iceberg. And I quote again, "This is insane. Another database for a long defunct app called At the Pool listed names, passwords, and email addresses for 22,000 people. UpGuard doesn't know how long they were exposed, and the database became inaccessible while the company was looking at it. Facebook shared this kind of information freely with third-party developers for years before cracking down more recently, again back in 2019. The problem of accidental public storage could be more extensive than those two instances. UpGuard found 100,000 open Amazon-hosted databases for various types of data, some of which it expects aren't supposed to be public. So we have Facebook that has been giving away an absolute ton of our information for years. This leaked document just confirms what we've already known. So I went back, because I remember this case, I went back and looked at my own archives as I've been doing daily videos and podcasts and this radio show. I was doing it in 2019 as well. I've been doing it for a while. Do you know what my video slash podcast was entitled also on April 3rd, 2019? It was entitled this: Breaking. Facebook had two bombshell reports today that could have seriously exposed you. So yeah, this isn't news, this is confirmation. And that is your Facebook news of the week. And before we head over to the next segment, I wanted to let you know, and I've done this in a couple of shows, and I keep being reminded to do this, and I always forget. Basically, if you didn't know, I put out content on a daily basis, not just here on the radio where you're listening to me, but actually I put it quite a lot of places, daily podcasts and videos on some of the latest trends, technology, cybersecurity, privacy, all these kinds of things I keep day to day. And some of the segments that I do for my news section or even my breaches of the week every Sunday gets translated into this show. But I do this as essentially a labor of love. You know, I don't have any kind of monetization anywhere. I just do it to keep people informed and to keep everybody interested. But you can find me basically on Twitter or Facebook at @NickAESP or on LinkedIn and YouTube at @NickEspinoza. And please follow me. I'd love to basically get a shout out from you and you know, send me a message or whatever it is. But I do content daily and I hope you guys enjoy it. And so that is my quick blurb. And in FBI news, and oh boy, again, this could be another deep dive, the FBI conducted potentially millions of searches of Americans' data in 2021 without a warrant. Now, this is being broken by the Wall Street Journal, and this is news as of late April, and it's nuts. Here's what's going on. The Federal Bureau of Investigation said, basically the week of April 30th, that they performed potentially millions of searches on American electronic data last year without a warrant. Now, an annual report published that week by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, or ODNI, disclosed that the FBI conducted as many as 3.4 million searches of U.S. data that had been previously collected by the National Security Agency. It couldn't be learned from the report how many Americans' data was examined by the FBI under the program, though Biden administration officials said it was also, or I should say, it was also almost certainly a much smaller number. And I will explain that logic in a minute. Now, the disclosure of the searches marks the first time in U.S. intelligence agencies' history that they have published an accounting, however imprecise, of the FBI's grabs of American data through a section of what is known as FISA, or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which is a 1978 law that governs some foreign intelligence gathering. The section of FISA that authorizes the FBI activity is known as Section 702 and is due to expire next year. Now, while the ODNI, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence report, doesn't suggest systemic problems with these searches, judges have previously reprimanded the FBI for failing to comply with privacy rules. Officials said FBI searches were vital to its mission to protect the U.S. from national security threats. The frequency of other forms of national security surveillance detailed in the annual report generally fell year over year, in some cases continuing a multi-year trend. This 3.4 million figure is, quote, certainly a large number, a senior FBI official said in a press briefing this past Friday, like a week ago. Quote, I am not going to pretend that it isn't. Now, more than half of those reported searches, nearly 2 million, were related to an investigation into a national security threat involving attempts by alleged Russian hackers to break into critical infrastructure in the United States. Those searches included efforts to identify and protect potential victims of the alleged Russian campaign, according to U.S. senior officials. The officials also declined, though, to give more details on the alleged Russian threat, including whether it was linked to the Russian government or a criminal hacker. hacking group. Russia historically has denied accusations of hacking the United States and other nations, and I have done so much reporting on that. That is an utter lie from the Russian government. We know it. Go back and listen to my entire body of work for the last 5 years. Now, the number of searches of American data does not correspond to the number of Americans who may have had their personal information examined by the Bureau. An individual's name, telephone number, email address, social security number can all be searched, sometimes repeatedly, and each instance of each term would count as a search. So searches of U.S. information can pertain to about a U.S. citizen, something like lawful permanent residence, U.S. companies. All of them are mixed into this search bucket, if you will, and those searches can yield a mix of metadata and content of collected communication. So, for example, if I'm under surveillance by the FBI and I use my cell phone to call whoever I call, I don't care who it is, could be my next door neighbor, could be the criminal I'm conspiring with. The FBI is not hearing that conversation according to metadata, but they are seeing that my phone, my location, called that phone, that location, and now they have tied me to that potential criminal or my neighbor or whoever it is. Now, one source of this discrepancy between the 3.4 million figure and potentially much lower quantity of searches is this. Sometimes FBI analysts perform large searches of hundreds or thousands of terms, and if just one term in that batch is associated with an American or U.S. entity, then all of the terms would be counted as a potential search of U.S. data. So if they punch in 1,000 different search terms, let's say looking for somebody like me, and one of those 1,000 terms got a hit and I was the one that got pulled up, now all of those search terms are applied to a search on a U.S. citizen, because that's what I am. Now, the FBI conducted approximately 3.39 million searches using the identity of a presumed U.S. person from December 1st of 2020 through November 30th of 2021, according to this report. The number of searches for previous 12 months period was about 1.3 million. Obviously, that's a huge problem. And the other side of this as well is that essentially there has been a law that has said the, and basically to sum it all up, and I will just simply quote the Wall Street Journal, it'll be easier. Friday's report also revealed 4 instances last year in which the FBI, due to specific factual considerations about the search of data, should have sought approval from the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court before performing a search and looking at the content of U.S. communications that were produced. The FBI has never sought approval from the court since the requirement was adopted in 2018, officials said. So in other words, even though the FBI is supposed to go to the court for things like this, meaning if they're going to search for somebody like me, they need a warrant. They have to go to a judge, prove that I'm crazy or a criminal or whatever. The judge grants them that, then they find me. They're not doing that. They're supposed to. That's obviously a huge problem. And so that is your terrifying FBI news of the week.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for Breaches of the Week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout-out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I am more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout-out on the air. With that, let's begin.
And this week in data breaches, like every other week, has just absolutely been nuts. And as always, before we begin, I'd like to thank the following people that sent me a lot of this information. And that would be Jason Dance, Barrett Peterson, Chris Fellon, Richard Posner, and Jacqueline Wolf. Guys, thank you so very much. And if you have a breach for me, please send it my way. I'm more than happy to give you a shout out as well. And with that, let's get going because we don't have time to lose. Let's start with Okta. They are one of the largest identity providers in the world for cybersecurity, and we have an update on an ongoing situation that looks like they dodged a bullet here, but here's what's up. Cybersecurity company Okta said on Tuesday, April 19th, that it concluded an investigation into a January data breach, adding that, quote, the impact of the incident was significantly less than the maximum potential impact that the company initially shared in a previous filing. Now, that filing with the US SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, on March 21st, they mentioned that a cybercrime group published screenshots online that were taken from a computer used by a customer support engineer who worked for a third-party vendor that was supplying customer service for Okta. Okta determined that those screenshots were related to that January incident that basically went through that vendor, according to the company. And a forensic firm basically essentially validated that. That is a huge problem for Okta. They seem like they've dodged a bullet, and it seems like it's okay that this was caught and nothing critical was stolen, such as the secret sauce of how they actually manage identities. But they are used by the massive corporations of the world, governments, you know, and everybody else in between that can afford them. So that's a huge hit. When you start having an identity management provider get hit, it's a big concern. Moving on. Let's talk about Newman Regional Health in the state of Kansas. They confirmed a data breach stemming from a hacking/IT incident involving one or more organizational email accounts. While details about the Newman Regional Health breach are basically still forthcoming, it appears as though the breach exposed sensitive information for as many as 52,224 individuals. So heads up to you if you're in Kansas and use Newman Regional Health. Moving on, and this is going to be like a healthcare week, let's talk about Supercare Health, a lawsuit filed against the in-home respiratory care provider Supercare over a cyber attack and data breach that was reported to the Department of Health and Human Services on March 28th is now on the way. Now, the incident involved the exposure and potential theft of protected health information on 318,400 patients, including names, addresses, birth date, patient numbers, medical record numbers, health insurance information, testing, diagnostic, treatment, and claims information. A subset of individuals also had their social security numbers and or driver's license numbers exposed. Supercare Health said unauthorized individuals accessed their network between July 23rd through July 27th of last year, but they didn't actually disclose until March, so they owe us an explanation. I'll keep you up to date, but heads up, Supercare Health users. Moving on, let's head on up to Canada and talk about Sunwing Airlines. They had to declare due to a third-party data breach. Now, thousands of people had been stranded for about a week or so, basically at their destinations and also at Canadian airports because of a data security breach involving Sunwing Airlines. Now, the problem basically was improving for the Toronto-based low-cost airline that connects basically Canadian cities to the Caribbean, Mexico, and Central America. So basically, if you're Canadian and you're taking a cheap vacation, you can take Sunwing Airlines to Cabo or wherever. Now, would-be flyers reported chaos and confusion with a lack of information on when their planes might leave. Again, their infrastructure went down, so you couldn't get flight information, you couldn't book. It was a nut. And as a result of this breach, the airline basically had to start checking in passengers manually after their infrastructure that belonged to a third-party service provider known as Airline Choice of Illinois were compromised. So the actual breach was Airline Choice of Illinois, but it directly affected Sunwing Airlines, a rather large but low-cost provider out of Canada. Moving on. Let's talk about Adaptive Health Integrations. They had a quote-unquote hacking incident that impacted 510,574 individuals. And according to their breach notification that they posted to the Montana Attorney General's Office website, an unauthorized individual, and I quote, may have accessed a limited amount of data on October 17 of last year. So heads up to you, Adaptive Health Integrations customers or patients. I'm guessing they're in Montana, probably in the area. Moving on, let's head to the Midwest and talk about Metro Health System in Ohio, because some of their patients are being notified of a privacy breach. About 1,700 or so were affected. Now, Metro Health said this in a recent statement, and they sent letters to patients that were basically mailed about a week or so ago. On November 13th, during an upgrade of their electronic medical record system, a limited number of patients' records were unintentionally affected, according to them. Basically, some patient records were released. Data pertaining to different patients also appeared up in those records, meaning if I go and went and looked at my patient information, I might see somebody else's patient information attached to me. Patients' names, appointments, dates, care provider names were the only information apparently that got released or mixed up. No personal, financial, or other health-related information was shared, according to Metro Health, and basically they informed of this situation on February 10th of this year. So heads up, Metro Health System of Ohio. Moving on, let's talk about Contra Costa County in the state of California, because the county is reporting a data breach that may have exposed the personal information located in a county employee email, or actually multiple employee email accounts. An investigation determined that an unauthorized person accessed the county employee emails at various times between June 24th and August 12th of last year. The breach exposed, quote, certain county employee emails, as well as individuals who may have communicated with the county's Employment and Human Services Department. That information would be names, social security numbers, driver's license or state-issued IDs, numbers, financial account numbers, passport numbers, and medical information and or health insurance information. So if you are a citizen of Contra Costa County in the state of California and you've contacted the Employment and Human Services Department, you definitely want to check in. Moving on, let's head on over to Tennessee and talk about Churchill Mortgage Corporation. They recently filed an official notice of data breach, and according to their official filing, the breach resulted from an unauthorized party gaining access to an email account. And basically, they are saying that names, social security numbers, financial account information, and basically were accessible to an unauthorized party. On April 12th of this year, they provided data breach notification letters to those who were affected. So heads up, if you use Churchill Mortgage Corporation in Tennessee for all your mortgage needs. Moving on, let's talk about Panasonic Canada. Yes, it's that Panasonic, the massive Japanese conglomerate, their Canadian division. They got hit by a cyber attack in February that impacted internal systems, processes, and networks. The Conti ransomware as a service group allegedly claimed responsibility for the cyber attack and claimed more than 2.7 gigabytes of data had been stolen from Panasonic Canada. Now, Conti's leak page appears to have Panasonic internal files, spreadsheets, and documents belonging to HR and accounting departments. Panasonic says they are working on restoring operations and to understand how the incident impacted customers, employees, and stakeholders. And there you go. This is the second time in less than 6 months for Panasonic. In 2021, specifically November, they confirmed that they had a third-party data breach and somebody illegally accessed their network and data in Japan. So here we are, Panasonic, you got to get it together, Japan, Canada, and elsewhere. Moving on, let's talk about Rideau Hall in Ottawa, Canada. That is the capital of Canada. Newly disclosed documents reveal basically a breach of an internal computer network at Rideau Hall, and that was described to senior government officials as a, quote, sophisticated cyber incident in the days before the public was told of the security lapse.
And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.